Our reading from the scriptures is found in Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Every once in a while, it's rather striking how, especially here in the Psalms, praise is given to God, and in the whole of the Psalm, you see nothing about grace or salvation. This psalm isn't one of those, and it's not until you get to the last verse that there's the possibility that there is an implication, because let the sinners be consumed, let the wicked be no more. But then all of creation is the reason for why God is praised. The different ones that we sang from also indicate that. Psalter numbers. This psalm is called a poetic version of Genesis 1. Because after the first verse, the next few verses talk about the waters that are above the firmament. And then there's several verses that follow that talk about the waters below the firmament in the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, Thou art very great, Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And now the waters above. Who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire. And now the waters that are below the firmament, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coveredest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, into the place which Thou hast founded for them. So on the third day God brought dry land out. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. And now our text is these two verses. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, they lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. May God bless this reading of his word. We go to verses 14 and 15 of Psalm 104. 14 and 15. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. We don't want our use of this Thanksgiving Day to be only or merely just a general attitude of thanks. So we can say, like people that we hear on the radio or on television, I'm thankful for. But we want it to be something more than that. We want it not just to be general gratitude, but thanks to God. So that we praise him. We're going to end here, but let's begin here too. Psalm 103, the previous psalm, begins very similarly. But it adds those familiar words in the second verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We need to be reminded. It is so easy for us to forget. My struggle is going to be that in an hour or two, where will my mind be? Or in 3 hours or 4 hours? Or in 24 hours, where will we be? Shopping. But will we be praising? Will we still be thankful? That's the concept that we must focus on. The sincere, godly Christian in this psalm is directed to focus his thanks on his Creator. Yes, our Redeemer and our Savior, because all of the physical and material are proper pictures that point the fingers to the spiritual. So there is grace that we're thankful for. But God doesn't want us just to be thankful for the spiritual. He wants us to see the physical and the material as fingers that point to the spiritual. So we're thankful too for creation, for the creatures that God uses for us. The psalm emphasizes how God makes grass, even the text, God makes the grass for the cattle. He talks about all the animals in the sea. They all wait upon him for their food. They wait on their God on the God of heaven and earth for their food. He takes care of every part of creation. And we sang that we even are given to sing the word love. God has love for the creatures. And we're taught then to be thankful. But now, here's the constant struggle. Not only am I thankful all the time, and there's the struggle, but am I thankful for some things and not all things? Does He open our eyes so we see our Father, whose attitude and relationship that He's established and maintained with His children is that they don't praise Him? That's why the reference in 35, let the wicked be no more. They don't look up. But we can. And when we see Him, then we know that we can and must trust Him. For the loss of a child, for headaches, for backaches, for fires that destroy, we see a Father that though we don't understand why, we don't need to, because we're so overwhelmed with the consciousness of His attitude toward us. And a part of that attitude is this: what do I deserve? What do I deserve from Him? And if I get His love, then moldy and stale bread and water, I'm thankful for. He causeth the grass to grow, our text says. Mart and other farmers, they sow the seed, they put down the fertilizer, they throw out the weed killer. If they could, they would irrigate when it's dry. But no human has yet learned how to make a seed to sprout. In talking about the spread of the gospel, Jesus in Mark chapter 4 said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring forth and groweth up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, he immediately goeth, putteth it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. He sows, he harvests. He can't do anything about making it grow. It's God alone who causes the seed to grow, causes the grass to come forth. And He does that in the last part of verse 14, that He may bring forth food out of the earth. When you get to the animals in the sea, in the water, as He describes it later in the psalm, they harvest their food from other animals. Well, God causes the beautiful harmony of creation is that grasses grow for the cattle and all the other animals. And then there's the other animals that eat other animals. And they're all working together under the sovereign control and wisdom of God. Everything. But the power of God is that when He gives them that what thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to dust. It's all out of the hand of Him whom we call our Father. Creator, Almighty God, El Shaddai, but our Father. And now He causes the grass to grow that it may be food for the cattle, that we might eat cattle. Turkey. He works it from the smallest part all the way until we sit at our tables and we eat. And He caused every part of it. When we read, He causeth the grass to grow. That's not just the nice blades of grass that we like to have in our lawns, but that's all kinds of green things, even what we might call weeds that we don't want in our yards. But think of the prairies and the valleys where no man goes, or the mountaintops where no man is there regularly, and man doesn't sow a thing, and it grows. I remember as a young teenager doing some hikes in the Rocky Mountains, and my dad had an appreciation for a camera and an eye for flowers. So way up in the top, above tree line, there would be flowers, and we'd have to stop while he took a picture of the tiniest little flower, but so intricate in its beauty. And in order for us later to appreciate it, he'd put a dime right next to it and take a picture with the dime and the flower. He causeth it to grow. For what purpose? Even if we don't know the immediate purpose of that little plant and that flower, we may stand back and with an eye of faith, be able to say, what a creator, that He cares for that tiny little flower among the thousands and even millions of other flowers in that little part of the mountaintop. And it has a purpose. He has a purpose for it that's as significant as a purpose for any one of us. He makes everything. He causeth it to grow. And now after the fall, it's even more amazing because it was cursed for man's sake. And then after Cain's sin, it was cursed again. And then through Noah, the curse was lifted a bit, just a bit. But there's still evidence of the curse in all of God's creation. But that doesn't hinder His ability to make things to grow and to produce. The text says that that herb is for the service of man. And then the last part of verse 15, and the bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Bread. The staff of life, it's called. And correctly and properly so. In all the varieties of breads that there is that which we need for the essence of our life, to be able to continue to live, the vitamins and the nutrients that we need physically as humans. God made us this way, and then He made the bread that is exactly what is best for us. Prisoners of war who traded stale bread for soup found out that it would have been better for them to have had the bread than the soup. It provides everything. It strengthens them. But it also strengthens the heart. Starving men, whether they're in prison or whether they're as prisoners of war or whether they're on a raft in the middle of the ocean, starving men lose hope. Natural courage dissipates the longer that they are without food. The heart is strengthened. We are encouraged psychologically and spiritually. It's amazing the connection. God creates us as one. The physical, the psychological, and the spiritual. They're all connected. And when one part is hurting, it affects the other parts. So when we're physically drained of strength, then the heart and the mind is affected. The mind psychologically, the heart spiritually. We can become very discouraged and despondent. We give up hope. But a little food, a little grass, a little bread, a little meat, and physically, and psychologically, and spiritually, we're revived. Now the text adds very interestingly wine and oil. Bread is necessary. Wine and oil is not needed. It's not a necessity. In Proverbs 31 verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of a heavy heart. God gives to wine its properties, just as He gives to bread its properties. And man can be refreshed and even exhilarated, believer and unbeliever. But we need a God-given wisdom to use wine and oil in a proper amount and in a proper way. When we see it as a gift of God, then we're going to be helped in our moderation. Oil, that's something that's rather unfamiliar to us. But oils were used to cause the face to shine, whether it was because the skin of that day and of those in the Middle East was so dry, we're not sure. But Naomi told Ruth, when she was to present herself to Boaz, to wash thyself and put on oils, anoint thyself. There's other references. Even the familiar Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's not just some anointing to an office. That's oils that we would use as ornaments. And it refers to jewelry and to other makeup that one might want to use. Not, and here's the danger, whether it's wine or oil, is it to focus on me, or is it to be an instrument to make me better, to enhance what God has given, or even more, to make me better equipped to praise and to glorify my God? When oil or wine is used to show off me, or to have my pleasure, If I can't get together with a bunch of guys without having all kinds of beer and alcohol, if man caves need liquor, then we're not using it right. Then we're abusing it. God puts the test of self-denial and self-control always to the test. We can't get together without strong drink and have a good time. Then something's missing. Then we're abusing good gifts. Just as much as if we put ornaments on ourselves and we think that we're almost naked if we don't. When is God worthy of our praise? What a dumb question. He's always worthy. Can we set late nights and they're for us and not for Him? Can we have man caves and they're for us and not for Him? Can we watch sports and play sports, and that's for us and not for Him? It's difficult. It's a test. But faith isn't just for this building, hospital rooms and funerals. Faith is for all times. And so we have to walk by faith in every part of our life. Bread. And again, sometimes it's just as difficult to use bread as it is to use wine in the right way. Why do we pray before we eat? Why do we pray after we eat? Sometimes we don't just want to thank Him for what He set before us. But we need to pray for His Spirit so that when we take the fork or the spoon and we put it to our mouths, every time we do it, we are able to say, I thank the Lord and I praise Him. These psalms that focus on creation make an emphasis that we are to remember that God is to be praised in everything we do. And that's what we must leave this with. That's why, let the sinners be consumed and the wicked be no more. So that every part of creation, not just some of the human creatures, but that God wipes out the wicked so that all that are left are those who are doing this. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye Jehovah. That's the whole purpose of this psalm. And that's what Thanksgiving Day really is all about. God is to be blessed, and that's why the psalm begins with that, and that's the way it ends. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. So easy it is for us to forget. It's very interesting that there's a verse about wine and oil in Proverbs 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The very same two things that are in our text. When we love them for themselves, when we love them for what they do for me, then we will not be rich spiritually. But when we love and use them, we use them as they've been given to us, and they make us love Him, then there's the proper use. So, in the United States today, in the basic character of our lives, He lavishes us with an abundance of good things. And that makes God's law of moderation and the test of self-control and self-denial so important. He gives them. Use them right. See Him behind them. And may the fruit of their use be that we bless the Lord. And forget not all His benefits. Amen. Let us pray. We thank and honor Thee for Thy word, for the reminders, for the renewed efforts that Thou dost by Thy Spirit work in us to be in control of our old man and not let him dominate, to deny ourselves of our pleasures so that we might serve others and thus Thee. Fill our hearts and our minds with an abundance of thoughts that make Thee worthy of praise. And may it all end in this, that all of our failures to think of Thee are gone. Thou hast forgiven them. So the praise that we give to Thee is a praise for Jesus, for wiping away all of our forgetfulness, all of our abuse. What a God! What grace! What a Father! Thanks. Amen.